الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وإذ قال موسى لقومه إن الله يأمركم أن تذبحوا بقرة قالوا أتتخذنا هزوا قال أعوذ بالله أن أكون من الجاهلين صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الأمين الكريم. Last lesson we began the incident in regards to the cow. Because this is one of the reasons why the Surah Al-Baqarah, which means the chapter of the cow, is named the cow. Okay, so what happened amongst the Bani Israel is one of the Bani Israel, whose name was Amil, was a rich man. He was a rich person amongst the Bani Israel. His cousin, his uncle's son, killed him in order to gain his wealth. Tika? Because he was the only relative. He thought, if I kill him, then I will receive all the inheritance and I will then become the rich man. So the cousin of Amil at one night kills Amil, and then he picks his body up and he takes the body to the doorstep of another person from amongst the Bani Israel. And when morning comes, he finds the dead body and he calls the people and Sayyiduna Musa alayhi salam, and he says that somebody has killed my cousin. I want to do a case against this person. So everybody started asking who was the killer. Nobody knew. They came to Sayyiduna Musa alayhi salam, and Sayyiduna Musa alayhi salam made a supplication to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the verse فَذْبَحُوا بَقَرَةً. Tika? Which means sacrifice a cow. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said اِضْرِبُوهُ بِبَعْضِهَا, meaning sacrifice the cow and then with a part from the cow, meaning one of the bones, hit or strike the bone onto Amil, the dead body, and the dead body will come to life and it will speak itself. And it will tell the people who actually killed Amil itself. Okay? So, when Sayyiduna Musa alayhi salam said to the people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered that you sacrifice a cow, that the people thought to themselves that what has sacrificing a cow got to do with finding the murderer of this body? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذْ قَالَ مُوسَى لِقَوْمِهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُكُمْ أَن تَذْبَحُوا بَقَرَةً. And remember when Musa alayhi salam said to his people, verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders you that you sacrifice the cow. A cow. Okay, baqaratan means a cow, you sacrifice a cow. Qalu atattakhiduna huzwa. The people of Sayyiduna Musa alayhi salam said that, are you joking with us? Are you mocking us? And what they meant by this is that, what is the relation between sacrificing a cow and finding the murderer of this body? The Sayyiduna Musa alayhi salam replied, قَالَ أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ أَنْ أَكُونَ مِنَ الْجَاهِلِينَ. I seek refuge in Allah that I would be from amongst the jahileen, the ignorant ones. Which simply means that it is the act of the ignorant people to joke in such matters and to mock people in such matters. Tika? So I am not from amongst them. The prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are pure from such. They do not joke and mock in such situations. قَالُوا دُعُ لَنَا رَبَّكَ يُبَيِّن لَنَا مَا هِي. So they said, the Bani Israel said, أُدْعُوا لَنَا رَبَّكَ, call upon your Lord for us, يُبَيِّن لَنَا مَا هِي, so that he explains to us, what is this cow that we have to sacrifice? And there is a hadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which says that if they did not ask what kind of a cow it is, then they could have sacrificed any cow and strike one of the bones of that cow onto the deceased body, and the deceased body would have come to life and it would have spoke. However, when they asked questions, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the cow more and more specific. So Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that the Bani Israel are asking for an explanation of what kind of a cow they must sacrifice. So Qala, Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam said, إِنَّهُ يَقُولُ إِنَّهَا بَقَرَةُ اللَّهَ فَارِضٌ وَلَا بِكْرٌ. Verily it is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that verily it is a cow which is neither old neither young. أَوَانٌ بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ, it is in between both of them. Okay, so it has a moderate age. It's not old, it's not young. It is just about right. فَفَعَلُوا مَا تُؤْمَرُونَ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered that do what you have been ordered to do. Okay, the Bani Israel had a habit of asking more and more to make things more and more specific. Okay, so when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered that they must sacrifice a cow, and baqaratan is nakira, it means any cow. Tika, it is not ma'rifa, it is not specific, it's not particular. It's a common noun which means any cow. So if they would have sacrificed any cow, the job would have been done. However, they asked a question, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it more specific, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explicitly added, فَفَعَلُوا مَا تُؤْمَرُونَ, do what you have been ordered to do, carry out what you have been ordered to do. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran says, قَالُوا, meaning the Bani Israel then said, أُدْعُوا لَنَا رَبَّكَ يُبَيِّن لَنَا مَا لَوْنُهَا, call upon Allah for us and ask Allah to explain its color. What color should this cow be? قَالَ, Sayyiduna Musa alayhi salam said, إِنَّهُ يَقُولُ إِنَّهَا بَقَرَةٌ صَفْرَاءٌ فَاقِعُ لَوْنُهَا تَسُرُّ النَّاظِرِينَ. Allah, Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that it is a cow which is safra. Safra means yellow. Okay? Faqi'ul lawnuha, which means a very shining yellow, which is similar to gold. A very deep and shining yellow. Tasurrun nazirin, and it pleases whoever sees it. Okay? Tasurrun nazirin, those who look towards it, they feel pleased due to the beautiful color of this cow. Okay, at this, they didn't stop. They still said, قَالُوا, the Bani Israel said, أُدْعُ لَنَا رَبَّكَ يُبَيِّن لَنَا مَا هِيَ إِنَّ الْبَقَرَ تَشَابَهَ عَلَيْنَا. They said that ask your Lord for us that he explains what this cow exactly is. إِنَّ الْبَقَرَ تَشَابَهَ عَلَيْنَا, because this cow, this specific cow, has now put us in doubt. It's put us in doubt, meaning, how do we find this cow? Where do we find this cow? So because they asked that, and they added on to that, وَإِنَّا إِنْشَاءَ اللَّهُ لَمُهْتَدُونَ, and we, with the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshaAllah means if Allah wills, لَمُهْتَدُونَ, we shall find it, we shall be successful, we shall be guided to it. Qala, Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam said, إِنَّهُ يَقُولُ. So again Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam asks Allah to explain more what this cow is, and Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam says that verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّهَا بَقَرَةٌ لَا ذَلُولٌ, it is a cow which has never been used to seed the earth for ploughing in the fields. تُثِيرُ الْأَرْضَ وَلَا تَسْقِي الْحَرْثِ, and it has never been used to water the crops. So it's become even more harder. So they have to find a cow which is not young and it is not old, its color is gold and it shines, and it has never been used for work. Okay, they have to find this cow. مُسَلَّمَةٌ لَا شِيَةَ فِيهَا. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, it must be complete. لَا شِيَةَ فِيهَا. There must be no sign of defect in it. Okay? So it shouldn't have an ear cut off or any marks on it which show any sort of defect. So it has to be a complete, pure and fit and healthy cow. قَالُوا الْآنَ جِئْتَ بِالْحَقِّ. Now they said to Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, okay, now you have come with the truth. And what they mean is, now you have completely clarified. Now we have understood. We are satisfied now in learning the attributes of what kind of a cow it should be. Okay, so this is an example of asking too much. Okay, as we talked about last lesson. And as I said, that the hadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it says, and if you look in the books of tafsir, this narration is mentioned in there, where it says the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that if they did not ask any question in regards to what kind of a cow it is, then they could have sacrificed any cow and it would have been successful. However, because they asked all of this, they had to go out and they had to look for a specific cow like this. And Allah knows best, but it seems like there was only one of such a cow in the world. There was a pious man who had a child, and he had this child of a cow. Okay, he had a calf. Is it a calf? Is that what you call it? And he and his wife were very pious, and they had this one child and they had this one calf. He was a very pious man, and he once took this calf into the jungle and he stamped it. He put a mark on the cow to say that this is in the path of Allah. And he says to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, Ya Allah, I put this cow in your protection. And the word in Arabic is used as wadi'ah, which means to put something in somebody else's possession for a certain period of time. Tika? So he gives it in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he says this to Allah, that Ya Allah, I give this in your protection, and you look after this calf, and when my son grows up, then my son shall take this cow back, this calf back. So this cow has been left in the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And later this man dies, and this child lives with his mother, and when the child becomes young, his mother says to the child that your father had left a cow in the jungle for you, in the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So go into the jungle, and now the time has come, and seek this cow, and when you see it, give it the oath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it will come to you if it is your cow. So this child, he goes, this young man goes into the jungle, and he finds this cow, and he asks the cow with the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to come to him, and the cow comes to him. Okay, and this cow is neither old, neither young, it is in between, and it is deeply yellow colored, and it shines, and it pleases anybody who sees it, and it has never been used for any type of work. Okay, this is the cow. So this young man brings the cow home to his mother, and the mother says, go and sell this cow in the market. And the price of cows at that time was 3 dinar. So he goes, and his mother tells him that sell it for 3 dinar. So he goes to the market where the cows are being sold, and he puts the cow on sale for 3 dinar. And a man comes and he says to him that I shall give you 6 dinar for this cow. And he says, no, my mother has told me to sell this for 3 dinar. So if you want it for 3 dinar, then I shall sell it to you for 3 dinar. This man says no. He refuses and he says that I will give you 6 dinar for this. So the man, being a very obedient man, a young man, a very obedient young man to his mother, he says that I must first return to my mother and confirm if I am okay to sell it for 6 dinar. So he returns back home and he tells his mother, and his mother says, that is fine, you may sell it for 6 dinar. So he returns back to the market the next day, and this man comes again and he says, no, I do not want to buy it for 6 dinar anymore. I will buy it for 12 dinar. Okay? So now this man says to him that I cannot sell it to you for 12 dinar. He says, sell it me for 12 dinar without your mother's permission. He says, no, I must first take my mother's permission. So he goes back and he tells his mother that the man now came, and he says 12 dinar. So the mother at that point realizes that this is not a man who has come to buy this cow. And she was a great pious person who loved, deeply loved Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and was obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thus, maybe she was a wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who came to know, and she came to know that this was not a man, but this was Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam that was sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or an angel of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So she says to him that now, when you go tomorrow to the market, when this man comes again, then ask him what you want to do with the cow, what we should do with the cow. Ask him, shall I sell this cow? If I shall sell it, then how much shall I sell it for? And when shall I sell it? Ask him to guide you. So this man goes into the market the next day, and he finds this human person in human form, this angel, and he says to the angel that you tell me what I shall do with this cow. My mother asked me to ask you what to do with this cow. So he says that the Bani Israel will come looking for this cow. Don't sell this cow yet. Keep hold of it until they come. Once they come, don't sell it for anything less than the skin of the whole cow filled with gold. Okay? Which was an immense price. So when they skin the cow, they must fill the whole skin with gold, and only that price must she sell this at. So then the man returns back to his mother, and he tells his mother that this is what I have been told. And it was Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam who came with the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So later the Bani Israel came, and they found this man. People guided them to this person's house, and when they came, he fixed the price and they accepted the price, because it was the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the Bani Israel. They had no choice. Okay, so they bought the cow for that price, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewarded the pious family with plenty of wealth, and the Bani Israel then took this cow, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَذَبَحُوهَا وَمَا كَادُوا يَفْعَلُونَ. So then they sacrificed this cow, and it did not seem like they were going to in the beginning. Theek hai? Which simply means that the Mufassireen say that what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala means by saying وَمَا كَادُوا يَفْعَلُونَ, and it was close that they were not going to sacrifice this cow, which simply means that when they were asking all these questions, they were asking them to try and avoid finding a cow and sacrificing a cow. Theek hai? They didn't want to sacrifice a cow. But in the end, they had no choice and they sacrificed a cow. وَإِذْ قَتَلْتُمْ نَفْسًا فَادَّارَأْتُمْ فِيهَا. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, remember when you killed the soul and you argued amongst each other or tried to learn who it was. وَاللَّهُ مُخْرِجٌ مَّا كُنْتُمْ تَكْتُمُونَ. And it is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who makes apparent that which you hide. Tika? Or it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who will make apparent what you hide. And Allah is the one who does make apparent what you hide. Tika? So when these people killed this, when this man killed his cousin, and then he claimed, he claimed to be the one who appeals, or the one who is the victim, family, and wanted to do a case against the murderer. When this happened, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that Allah is the one who will bring forth what you are hiding. فَقُلْنَا ضُرِبُوهُ بِبَعْضِهَا. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when we said to the people that strike the dead body with a part of the cow, كَذَلِكَ يُحْيِي اللَّهُ الْمَوْتَى وَيُرِيكُمْ آيَاتِهِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَعْقِلُونَ. The reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose this method, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions here, كَذَلِكَ يُحْيِي اللَّهُ الْمَوْتَى, because this is the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings to life that which has died. وَيُرِيكُمْ آيَاتِهِ, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in these ways shows you his signs, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَعْقِلُونَ, so that you realize. So this was simply a method of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showing people His sign, His sign of existence and power. That if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills, then one piece of dead can be struck on another piece which is dead, and it, one of them comes to life. Tika? This is one of the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in this manner, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings to life that which has died. So from this, the people should learn that there is absolutely no doubt that when everything has died, on the Day of Judgment, Allah will give it all life again. Tika? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring everything back to life. And in Surah Yasin, which we read many times, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that Allah is the one who created you from nothing. Then how is it not possible for Allah to give you life once you have died? Hana? So to create something from nothing is the hard part. But once something has been created and given life, and the life goes from it, to give it life again is very simple. Tika? So this was what happened. What happened was they sacrificed the cow, they struck one of the pieces of the cow, one of the bones, onto the dead body. The person came to life, and he said that it was him that killed me, meaning his cousin, and then against his cousin, qisas took place. Tika? Qisas is the punishment of killing one. And justice prevailed. Okay? Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ثُمَّ قَسَتْ قُلُوبُكُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ ذَلِكَ. After that, when you should have learned from the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and your faith should have become stronger in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rather what happened was, ثُمَّ قَسَتْ قُلُوبُكُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ ذَلِكَ. After that, your hearts became hard. Okay? Your hearts became سخت, meaning they became hard. فَهِيَ كَالْحِجَارَةِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that it is as though they have become like stones. أَوْ أَشَدُّ قَسْوَةً. But not only like stones, but even harder than stones. Like we say somebody is stone-hearted. Because stone is very hard. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here says, but actually even harder than stone. And why is that? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِنَّ مِنَ الْحِجَارَةِ لَمَا يَتَفَجَّرُ مِنْهُ الْأَنْهَارِ. For verily, from amongst stone, there are those from which streams flow. Tika? Streams flow from such stones. And if you look into the science of stones, you will find that streams of water flow from massive stones. Okay? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here is explaining to the people, and this is tasawwuf and Sufism. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving a lesson of Sufism. That the heart should not be so hard that it becomes worse than a stone. It becomes harder than a stone. But remember that even stones cry. Streams of water flow from stones. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِنَّ مِنْهَا لَمَا يَشَّقَّقُ فَيَخْرُجُ مِنْهُ الْمَاءُ. And verily from among stone there are those which break. Tika? They break and water comes out from them. Tika? There are stones which if you smash up, then water comes out of them. You find moisture inside them. وَإِنَّ مِنْهَا لَمَا يَهْبِطُ مِنْ خَشْيَةِ اللَّهِ. And from amongst them there are those who fall. Tika? Like in an avalanche. They fall due to the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tika? So there are those which fall due to the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So don't let your hearts become harder than stone, for remember that even stone flows water, and thus your heart should also flow water. وَمَا اللَّهُ بِغَافِلٍ عَمَّا تَعْمَلُونَ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not unaware of that which you do. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is aware of everything. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows everything. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَفَتَطْمَعُونَ أَن يُؤْمِنُوا لَكُمْ وَقَدْ كَانَ فَرِيقٌ مِّنْهُمْ يَسْمَعُونَ كَلَامَ اللَّهِ ثُمَّ يُحَرِّفُونَهُ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا أَقَلُوهُ وَهُمْ يَعْلَمُونَ. To the believers, to the Muslims, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, do you desire that the Yahud, the Jews become believers like you have become believers. وَقَدْ كَانَ فَرِيقٌ مِّنْهُمْ. Whereas there is a group from amongst them who listens to the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he alters them after he has understood them on purpose. See that? These are the people. So what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying is that do not desire for every person to become a believer, because from amongst them there are those who know, they already know what the truth is, yet they, when they received the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they heard the word of Allah that Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam brought to them, they still changed it knowingly, on purpose. Take care? So such people you should not desire for them to become believers. And وَإِذَا لَقُوا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا قَالُوا آمَنَّا. And when they met with the people who had believed, they said, we already believe like you do. Okay, and in the Shani Nuzul, the reason for revelation in of this verse, Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala, it's been recorded from him. May Allah be pleased with him. Allah is pleased with him. It has been recorded from Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala that this is in regards to those Jews who were present in the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when they would meet us, the Sahaba ikram, they would say to us that he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Muhammad, is the truth. He is the truthful one, and the Quran is the word of Allah, and Islam is the true religion, and we also believe. وَإِذَا خَلَى بَعْضُهُمْ إِلَى بَعْضٍ. And when they would meet with the others, meaning when the Jews would meet each other, when they would meet the other Jews, and Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala says that this was in regards to when they met with the leaders of the Jews. When they met with the leaders said to them, قَالُوا أَتُحَدِّثُونَهُمْ بِمَا فَتَحَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكُمْ لِيُحَاجُّكُمْ بِهِ عِنْدَ رَبِّكُمْ أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ. Are you telling them that which Allah has opened for you so that they have evidence against you in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ. Do you not realize? So what these Jews were saying is that you are feeding evidence to the Muslims. On the Day of Judgment, they will use that against you. Okay, so the Jews, they knew they were wrong, but they would think that nobody could use evidence against us in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when we move forward, in a verse they actually say, they actually used to say, لَنْ تَمَسَّنَا النَّارُ إِلَّا أَيَّامًا مَعْدُودًا. They used to say that fire will never touch us, but only for a certain period. Meaning we are guaranteed Jannah. Okay? That's what they used to say. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in a verse which will come later, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that if they say that to you, ask them that have they got an oath with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that they will not be thrown into the fire of hell? Have they struck a business deal with Allah? Why are they saying that? And if they are truthful, then tell them to desire death. Why don't you ask Allah for death if you are guaranteed to go into Jannah? Why stay here when you can go to Jannah if you are guaranteed Jannah? And they would never, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that they will never desire death because they fear death. Okay? The Jews fear death. Inshallah, we'll carry on next lesson. Inshallah, we'll carry on next lesson. And it continues about the Jews and what they used to say and how the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam answered them through the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah, sadaqallahu alaihi wa sallam, Rasulullah nabiyyuh wa sallam. Any questions on that?
صلى الله عليك يا رسول الله وسلم عليك يا حبيب الله قل سيء
تارو راہ گزر کو خبر نہ ہو پل سے اتارو راہ گزر کو خبر نہ ہو جبریل پر بچھائے تو پر کو خبر نہ ہو کاتا میرے جگر سے غم روزگار کا کاتا میرے جگر سے غم روزگار کا یوں کھینچ لیجیے کہ جگر کو خبر نہ ہو یوں کھینچ لیجیے کہ جگر کو خبر نہ ہو پل سے اتارو راہ گزر کو خبر نہ ہو جبریل پر بچھائے تو پر کو خبر نہ ہو فریاد امتی جو کرے حال زار میں فریاد امتی جو کرے حال زار میں ممکن نہیں کہ خیر بشر کو خبر نہ ہو ممکن نہیں کہ خیر بشر کو خبر نہ ہو پل سے اتارو راہ گزر کو خبر نہ ہو جبریل پر بچھائے تو پر کو خبر نہ ہو اے شوق دل یہ سجدہ گر ان کو روا نہیں اے شوق دل یہ سجدہ گر ان کو روا نہیں اچھا وہ سجدہ کیجے کہ سر کو خبر نہ ہو اچھا وہ سجدہ کیجے کہ سر کو خبر نہ ہو پل سے اتارو راہ گزر کو خبر نہ ہو جبریل پر بچھائے تو پر کو خبر نہ ہو ان کے سوا رضا کوئی حامی نہیں جہاں ان کے سوا رضا کوئی حامی نہیں جہاں گزرا kare pi sar pe pi dar ko khabar na ho guzra kare pi sar pe pi dar ko khabar na ho pul se utaro raah guzar ko khabar na ho jibril par bhi chaaye to par ko khabar na ho
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وصلى الله على خير خلقه محمد المصطفى عليه أفضل الصلاة وأكمل التسليم. Last lesson we completed the chapter of Ikhlas, the chapter of sincerity. Okay, and we learned from the chapter of sincerity that it is through the intention that one is rewarded and one is punished. And if the intention is not correct, and if it is not sincere for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then one may be thrown that back on his face on the Day of Judgment. Okay? The next chapter is the chapter of knowledge, Babul Ilm, the chapter of knowledge. And we should already know the importance of knowledge. Okay? As Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, when we read about Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, we learned that Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam was given superiority over the angels due to the knowledge that he had. Okay? When the angels were challenged by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to provide the names of things, and they could not, yet Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam provided the names of all the things. And the narrations say that this was everything that existed and was to exist until the Day of Judgment. And Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam had all that knowledge. And it was knowledge which the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came and spread amongst the people. And all the Anbiya and the Rusul al-Izam, they all came with knowledge from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this chapter of knowledge will also give us more information on how emphasized and how important knowledge is in Islam. So the chapter of knowledge, the first hadith, كان من دعاء النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم, and this hadith is from Ibn Majah. It was from amongst the supplications of the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, اللهم إني أعوذ بك من علم لا ينفع. That, O Allah, I seek refuge in you from knowledge which does not benefit. Okay? So, knowledge which does not benefit is no good. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to seek refuge from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in Allah, from such knowledge. Okay? And when we say knowledge that does not benefit, it means knowledge that leads to bad. Okay? So, leads to evil. Not only knowledge that completely has no benefit, but there may be knowledge which may benefit you, okay, but it is not permissible, or it is evil, or it is wrong, then that knowledge is also not beneficial. Theek hai? It is ghayre nafi' ilm. And for example, the knowledge of black magic, theek hai? Which may benefit you in your worldly life or your worldly desires. However, it does not benefit you in any way in your religion and your faith. Okay? And black magic does exist. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about it in the Quran, in Surah Baqarah, which we will come to soon as well. Okay, so knowledge which benefits, which simply means that knowledge which is good for you in this life and the hereafter, according to the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Sayyidina Rasul Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from knowledge that does not benefit. And in other narrations or from the ulama-i-kiram, we also learn that that knowledge which you do not act upon is also knowledge that does not benefit. Okay? So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam also seeks refuge in Allah from such knowledge. And what that means is, it does not mean that you should now not learn that because you're not going to act upon it, but it means that you should learn it and you should act upon it. Okay? There's a difference. So we should learn that knowledge, but the refuge you are seeking in Allah is from the fact that you don't act upon it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you are praying to Allah that, oh Allah, make me act upon it, so that that knowledge becomes beneficial and it does not remain, and it does not remain not beneficial. Okay? Or non-beneficial. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam always used to make dua, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min ilmin la yanfa. Oh Allah, I seek refuge in you from knowledge which does not benefit. وَمِن دُعَاءٍ لَا يُسْمَعْ وَمِن دُعَاءٍ لَا يُسْمَعْ, and from that call which is not heard. Okay, dua means to call out, and here it means that dua, that prayer, that supplication, which is not answered. Okay, so I seek refuge in Allah from knowledge which does not benefit, from that dua which is not heard, from that prayer which is not heard. وَمِن قَلْبِ لَا يَخْشَى, and from that heart which does not fear. وَمِن نَفْسٍ لَا تَشْبَى, and from that desire which is not satisfied. Okay, so that, how many things is that? How many is that? Four. Okay, four things Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is asking Allah for refuge from. So first of all, knowledge which does not benefit. Secondly, that dua which is not accepted. Thirdly, that heart which does not fear. And fourth, that desire which is not satisfied. Okay? And it is simple to understand why all of these are Allah's, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, why he sought refuge in Allah from these things. Simply, the knowledge which does not benefit is no use to you and it could lead to wrongdoing. The dua which is not heard, the dua is made to be heard, and if it is not heard, then you are wasting your time. وَمِن قَلْبِ لَا يَخْشَى, and from a heart which does not fear. It should have the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tika? To have fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ordered by Allah in the Quran. And وَمِن نَفْسِ لَا تَشْبَى, and from that desire which is not satisfied or fulfilled. So if somebody has a desire of hunger and he does not fulfill it, he just keeps eating, and he cannot fulfill his desire of eating, then he will never be able to focus on worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and engage in dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because he has that desire which has not yet been fulfilled. And there are many other desires. If somebody has a desire of wealth and he just continues to run after wealth and wealth and wealth all the time and forgets Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then such desire, you should seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from it. Okay? Everything should be proportionate. And the desire, when a person has a desire, then the desire can affect the whole mind and the whole way the body system works. Okay? And we already know that. That when a person, for example, has a desire of fulfilling his needs as a male from a female, then he may go out and do things which are incomprehensible. Okay? And that is because it is a desire which he cannot fulfill. So when a person makes this dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it covers a lot of things. This is a very jami' dua. Jami' means it's a very collective dua which collects a lot of things into it. So for a young man who is not yet married, he could mean that, may Allah not give me that sexual desire that I cannot fulfill as I am not yet married. And may Allah allow me to concentrate and pray when I pray. Tika? It could be anything like that. For example, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to those people who have not yet married, he sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that you should fast in order to keep you from that desire. Tika? So here is a dua that you can also use to keep you from such desires, so that you can concentrate in your prayers. Okay, so if anybody wants this dua, then let me know after and I shall write it down for them on a piece of paper. The next hadith, again from Ibn Majah, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to say, and this is another dua that the Prophet Muhammad used to make. Allahumma anfa'ni bima 'allamtani. O Allah, give me benefit from that which you have taught me. So make the knowledge that I have beneficial. وَعَلِّمْنِي مَا يَنْفَعُنِي. And teach me that which will benefit me. وَزِدْنِي عِلْمًا. And increase me in knowledge. وَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ حَالٍ. And all praise belongs to Allah in every state. This is another dua. Well, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam again is emphasizing on the importance of knowledge that benefits. Tika, ilme nafir. So, O Allah, give me benefit through that which you have taught me. Allahumma anfa'ni bima 'allamtani. So here you are acknowledging the fact that Allah is the one who has given you this knowledge. Then, O Allah, you give me benefit through that knowledge. Wa 'allimni ma yanfa'uni. And teach me that which benefits me. Meaning, give me more knowledge which is beneficial. وَزِدْنِ عِلْمًا. And increase me in knowledge. And this is from the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقُلْ رَبِّي زِدْنِ عِلْمًا. And say, O Allah, increase me in knowledge. O my Lord, increase me in knowledge. So that's a dua taught by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for increasing knowledge. So وَزِدْنِ عِلْمًا. And increase me in knowledge. And all praise belongs to Allah no matter how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeps us. No matter what state we are in. So this is another dua that one should recite in order to gain knowledge that is beneficial. The next hadith, which is the third hadith in this chapter, and this hadith is quite famous, and this is in Bukhari Sharif. These words are from Bukhari Sharif, where the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "May yuridillahu bihi khayra yufaqihu fid din, wa innama al-ilmu bit-ta'allum." Okay. Whoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills good for, Allah gives them the understanding of the religion. Okay? وَإِنَّمَا الْعِلْمُ بِالتَّعَلُّمُ. And verily knowledge is through teaching. Tika? Or through learning. تَعَلُّم. So, from this hadith we learn that a person who gains the understanding of the deen is somebody whom Allah has willed good for. And if Allah does not will good for someone, then he will not gain the understanding of the religion. And the ulama-i-kiram have used this hadith to say that only that person can become a faqih. And yufaqihu fi deen means to become a faqih. And a faqih is one who understands the deen. مَنْ يُرِدِ اللَّهُ بِهِ خَيْرًا يُفَقِّهُ فِي الدِّينِ. Only that person whom Allah wills good for becomes a faqih of the deen. He understands fiqh of Islam. Only when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills good for that person. And that's why when a person does want to become a faqih, then he should pray to Allah that, O Allah, will good for me. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make that person into a faqih, inshaAllah. وَإِنَّمَا الْعِلْمُ بِالتَّعَلُّمُ. And verily knowledge is through learning. You can't expect to gain knowledge without learning. You have to spend time learning. It's not going to come to you. Unless Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen you for a miracle. Otherwise, the nature of Allah, the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put this world, it is an alam of asbab, the world of means, so you have to use the means to become an alim or a faqih. So you have to learn in order to become knowledgeable. And in another narration it says, وَإِنَّمَا أَنَا قَاسِمُ وَاللَّهُ يُعْطِي. And verily, I am the distributor and Allah is the one who gives. So Allah is the one who gives the knowledge, and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the one who distributes that knowledge. Tika. And I always mention when I read this hadith that Sayyidina Allama Ibn Nujaym Misri radiallahu ta'ala, and the author of Al-Bahru Raiq and Al-Ashbah wal-Nazaih, he, a great Hanafi faqih from Egypt, he writes in Al-Bahru Raiq, a very authentic book of the Hanafi fiqh. And Al-Ashbah wal-Nazaid is a very distinguished and a very unique book in the knowledge of Hanafi fiqh. He, in his muqaddimah, in his foreword, in the beginning of his book, he writes that there are in this world muhaddithin, mufassirin, falsafiyin, and people who have mastered different sciences of Islam. Okay? But none of them can say that I have been guaranteed a place in Jannah, but those who are masters of fiqh. Those who have become from amongst the fuqaha, they are the only ones who can say with certainty that our destiny is good. And the reason why is he quotes this hadith, and he says that it is only the fuqaha who have been guaranteed that the will of Allah is with them. In the hadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And when Allah has willed good for somebody, then their destiny is Jannah. Okay? And that is why fiqh is more superior than the knowledge of tafsir and hadith. Whereas the truth is that fiqh, it combines tafsir, hadith together. Okay, that is fiqh. And then to understand the ways in which to deduce rules from the Quran and hadith. Without understanding tafsir and hadith, a person cannot become a faqih. Okay, he has to understand the Quran and he has to understand the hadith in order for a person to become a faqih. And a faqih is somebody who is rarely found in this world today. It is very hard to find somebody who is an actual faqih. Okay, we are like a drop from seven oceans of a faqih. That's what we are. Okay, a faqih is somebody who has mastered the Quran. He knows every single verse from which a ruling has been deducted or deduced. Okay, he knows that verse of the Quran and he understands all the different interpretations that are possible for that verse. For the verses of the Quran which are known as mahkam. The mahkam verses are those from which we understand rules of Sharia. And then he understands the verses from which the hadith from which the rules of Sharia have been taken. And he understands the authenticity of the ahadith. He understands the language, the custom of the language in those days when the Quran was revealed at the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He has to understand the Arabic language. He should understand nahw and sarf, and there are many, many other conditions for a person to become a faqih. Okay, a person simply by reading Qanun al-Shariat or translating Qanun al-Shariat does not become a faqih. The next hadith. So, in order for us to become faqih and understand the knowledge of fiqh, we should pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Ya Allah will good for us. And if you pray this dua, then you will see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has increased your knowledge of understanding of the deen. And it happens. So, from now, what you should do is after every salah, you should add this to your dua. That Ya Allah will good for me. Oh Allah, mere liye bhalai ka irada farma. Theek hai? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you the understanding of the deen. The next hadith, kharaja Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam dhata yawmin min ba'di hujarihi fadakhala al-masjid. Kharaja Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lived one of the days. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam left one of his rooms. Take care, one of his rooms. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam lived in adjacent to the Masjid al-Nabawi, which is now inside the Masjid al-Nabawi, adjacent where his rooms were for his separate wives. So the hadith says, and this hadith is from Ibn Majah, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam one day left from amongst his rooms. Tika? فدخل المسجد, and he entered the masjid. Tika? So his room was adjacent to the masjid. As soon as he left the room, he was in the masjid. And there is a hadith where the Prophet Muhammad says that from now, everybody must perform ghusl in order to enter the masjid. You cannot enter the masjid without ghusl. Tika? You can enter without wudu, but you can't enter without ghusl. It is haram for us to enter the masjid without ghusl. If ghusl is farz upon you, okay, if ghusl isn't farz upon you, then you don't have to, because you already have ghusl. But if your ghusl has been broken, for example, one has slept with his wife, or he has seen a dream in which his ghusl has broken, then now he will have to do ghusl again before he enters the masjid. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, besides me and Ali, radiallahu ta'ala, besides the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala. And in the sharah of this hadith, some of the shariheen have said the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because he is pure. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is pure. And although the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was living a life in the form of a human to show us how to live, because his house was adjacent to the masjid and he could not enter the masjid or leave the masjid without enter his home and leave his home without entering the masjid, that's why he did not need to. Okay? And for Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala, because he would have to go through the masjid in order for him to go to his home. Okay? And that's why he never had to do ghusl. That's one explanation, one shara of this hadith by our muhaddithin and our fuqaha kiram. And there are those who say that this is the fadila of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala. He sallallahu alaihi wasallam had so much ikhtiyar and power given to him by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in making the law of Islam that he could make someone exempt from the law, from a specific law. Tika? And this is an example where he made Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala exempt from that law of Islam. So for everybody there is a different law and there is only Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala who is exempt from that. Tika? And this is from the khasais of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And it shows the virtue of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala that he was given this fadila over all others. Okay, so the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam's room was adjacent to the masjid. So when he left the room, دخل المسجد, he would enter the masjid. So the hadith says, فدخل المسجد, when he entered the masjid, فإذا هو بحلقتين. When he entered the masjid, in front of him was two circles. Tika? There were two circles, meaning two groups of people, and they were in a study circle type of thing. So حلقتين, there were two groups of people sitting in two separate gatherings. إحداهما يقرؤون القرآن. One from amongst them was reciting the Quran. ويدعون الله, and they were calling upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani they were doing the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. والأخرى يتعلمون ويعلمون. And the other was learning and teaching. So there was one from amongst them who was teaching and the other people were listening. فقال النبي صلى الله تعالى عليه وآله وسلم, the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, كل على خير, all of these are upon good, they are all upon goodness. هؤلاء يقرؤون القرآن ويدعون الله, these people are reciting the Quran and calling upon Allah. فإن شاء الله فإن شاء أعطاهم, so if Allah سبحانه وتعالى wills, then Allah will give them. Tika? Give them goodness and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward them. Wa in sha'a mana'ahum. And if Allah wills, then Allah will not give to them. Okay? Yani it's up to Allah. Allah wills, then He will accept their good deed. And if Allah wills, He will not accept. Wa ha'ula'i yata'allamuna wa yu'allimun. And these people, they are teaching and they are learning. Wa innama bu'ithu mu'allima. And verily, I have been sent as a teacher. Tika? So, in this hadith, in the chapter of knowledge, this hadith is here to show the preference of knowledge. Do you get the fact that knowledge has more virtue than reciting the Quran and the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Do you get, if one recites the Quran in order to gain knowledge, then that is fine. But simply to recite the Quran as a dhikr, it is not as virtuous as learning knowledge. Okay? That's what this hadith implies. And that is what our ulama kiram have said. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam clearly explains that by saying wa innama bu'ithtu mu'alliman, that verily I have been sent as a teacher. Okay, and this next hadith, I believe, so as far as I can remember when I last read it, should explain this even more clearer. Yeah, it does. The next hadith is similar, very similar. The hadith previously was from Ibn Majah and this is from Sunan ad-Darimi. مر النبي صلى الله تعالى عليه وآله وسلم بمجلسين في مسجده. He صلى الله عليه وسلم once walked past two groups, two circles, مجلسين, two sittings in his masjid. So he صلى الله عليه وسلم saw that there were two separate groups of people in the masjid. فقال كلاهما على خير. He صلى الله عليه وسلم said both of them are upon goodness. ठीक है? दोनों अच्छा काम कर रहे हैं. وَأَحَدُهُمَا أَفْضَلُ مِنْ صَاحِبِهِ. But one of them is more superior than its companion. So one group is more superior than the other group. أَفْضَلُ مِنْ صَاحِبِهِ مِنْ صَاحِبِهِ. أَمَّا هَؤُلَاءِ. As for these people, فَيَدْعُونَ اللَّهَ وَيَرْغَبُونَ إِلَيْهِ. They are calling upon Allah and they are inclining themselves towards Allah. فَإِنْ شَاءَ أَعْطَاهُمْ وَإِنْ شَاءَ مَنَعَهُمْ. If Allah wills, then Allah will give to them. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills, then He will not give to them. وَأَمَّا هَؤُلَاءِ. And as for these people, meaning the other group, فَيَتَعَلَّمُونَ الْفِقْهِ. They are learning fiqh. والعلم and knowledge. وَيُعَلِّمُونَ الْجَاهِلِ. And they are educating the ignorant. They are educating the uneducated. They are giving ilm to the jahil. They are teaching the jahil. فَهُمْ أَفْضَلُ. They are more superior. وَإِنَّمَا بُعِثْتُ مُعَلِّمًا. Verily I have been sent as a teacher. قَالَ. The hadith narrator, the narrator of the hadith then said, ثُمَّ جَلَسَ فِيهِمْ. Then the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sat amongst them. He went and sat amongst them. From this we learn, it has now become absolutely clear that it is more superior to engage in a study circle. The word used in the hadith is halaqa, which means a circle. Tika, the Sahaba that was teaching and learning, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that they are more superior than those who were sitting and doing dhikr and calling upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tika, so the mahfil of dhikr and the mahfil of du'a is upon goodness. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said they are also good. Tika, so you should do that as well, but you should give more preference to the study circle where you learn and one teaches. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself went and sat with those who were teaching in the masjid. Okay, so that shows to us how important knowledge is and how much preference knowledge has been given over the dhikr of Allah. Not only that, but the recitation of the Quran. And that should show us how importance Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to knowledge. The next hadith is Man kharaja fi talab al-ilmi. كان في سبيل الله حتى يرجع. And this hadith is from Tirmidhi Sharif in the chapter of knowledge, which means he who leaves with the intention of seeking knowledge, he is in the path of Allah until he returns. And this is a very beautiful hadith, because when you leave your home with the intention of learning knowledge which will benefit and benefit your deen. And in the Sharia it does explain that this is ilmu al-deen, the knowledge of deen. And it could be anything that benefits the deen. Even the knowledge of science, the knowledge of understanding the way the sky is and the way the world is moving and the way the world works. This is all the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala which is mentioned in the Quran. And if a man leaves his home with the intention of gaining that knowledge, then until he returns home, he is in the path of Allah. Which means when he dies, fi sabilillah, he has died in the path of Allah. And he will be rewarded the reward of a martyr. Tika? Although he is not known as a shaheed, but he will still be rewarded the reward of a martyr. And he will be, on the day of judgment, treated as a martyred person. So if a man has a question to ask an alim, for example, and he leaves his home with that intention that I will go to this house of this alim and I will ask him this question, he is in the path of Allah all that time until he returns home. Okay, if a person leaves his home to go to the masjid and he knows that after the salah there is a program, there is a speech, then he goes with that intention to learn that knowledge, he is in the path of Allah. Tika? And when a person goes to perform salah, he is already in the path of Allah. Tika? Because to go for the worship of Allah and to return is also being in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the next hadith is the last hadith we'll listen to today, inshallah. Or maybe one more. But the hadith is Man salaka tariqan yabtaghi fihi ilma. And this is again in the same place as the previous hadith in Tirmidhi Sharif. He who takes a path, man salaka tariqa, yabtaghi fihi ilma. He takes a path, and the path has been taken with the intention of seeking knowledge. Salaka Allahu lahu tariqan ila al-jannah. Then Allah will make a path for him to Jannah, that leads to Jannah. Theek hai? So if when a man takes a path towards gaining knowledge, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make a path for him which leads to Jannah. Subhanallah. You can never regret going to learn knowledge, okay? As in, when you learn knowledge, you will never regret the fact that you chose that path. وَإِنَّ الْمَلَائِكَةَ The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that this man who has now chosen a path to go and seek knowledge, Allah has made a path for him that leads to Jannah. And verily, al-malaika, the angels, نَتَضَعُ أَجْنِحَتَهَا رِضَاءً لِطَالِبِ الْعِلْمِ They lay down their wings for the pleasure of the talibul ilm, for the pleasure of the seeker of knowledge. Okay? So when this person is walking, he is walking on the wings of the angels. وَإِنَّ الْعَالِمَ لَيَسْتَغْفِرُ لَهُ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ حَتَّى الْحِيطَانُ فِي الْمَا And verily, and this is amazing, this is absolutely amazing, because when the person has now become an alim and he has learned, then the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, وَإِنَّ الْعَالِمَ Verily the alim لَيَسْتَغْفِرُ لَهُ And la is for ta'keed, is emphasis. Verily, مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ Which means everything that is in the skies and everything that is in the earth, it seeks maghfira for him, for the alim. حَتَّى الْحِيطَانُ فِي الْمَاءِ Up to the extent that even the fish in the water, they seek forgiveness for the alim. وَفَضْلُ الْعَالِمِ عَلَى الْعَابِدِ And the superiority of an alim over an abid, or over a worshipper. An alim is a person who knows, and an abid is a person who is a worshipper. كَفَضْلِ الْقَمَرِ عَلَى سَائِرِ الْكَوَاكِبِ Is like the superiority of the moon over the stars in the night. Tika? That's the difference between an alim. إِنَّ الْعُلَمَاءَ وَرَثَةُ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ Verily the ulama are the inheritors of the anbiya-i kiram. Okay, when a person dies, he leaves his wealth behind for his inheritors, for his heirs. They take his inheritance. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, إِنَّ الْأَنْبِيَاءَ لَمْ يُوَرِّثُ دِينَارًا Verily the anbiya-i kiram, the prophets of Allah, they do not leave behind any worldly material wealth. Okay? They leave inheritance behind, which is knowledge. Okay? So, إِنَّ الْأَنْبِيَاءَ لَمْ يُوَرِّثُوا دِينَارًا وَلَا دِرْهَمًا They do not leave behind any dinar or they do not leave behind any dirham. إِنَّمَا وَرَّثُوا الْعِلْمَ They leave behind knowledge. Their inheritance is the inheritance, the wealth they leave behind is knowledge. فَمَنْ أَخَذَ بِهِ أَخَذَ بِحَظِّ وَافِرٍ So he who takes from it, he takes a full share. Okay? So when, for example, a person dies, he leaves behind his wealth, his house, his property, whatever he's got left, they make shares of it. Okay? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has fixed the shares of those who are left behind in the world. So for the mother, 1/6 of that will be her share. Okay, and whatever the daughters get, double of that, the sons will get. Okay, that's their share. And here, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying that whoever takes a share will take a complete share, meaning he can take all of it. Okay? So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam's inheritance, he did not leave behind any worldly things. Everything was given in the Baytul Mal in charity. It was all given in the path of Allah. Everything that he, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, had left behind when he passed away. But knowledge was there as his inheritance. And every single one of us can take as much as we want. And it is up to us to take that which the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam left for us. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us from it all that which benefits us. And may Allah benefit us with that which Allah has already given to us. The knowledge that Allah has already given to us. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from knowledge that does not benefit, from that prayer which is not accepted. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from that desire which is not fulfilled. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from a heart which does not fear. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala benefit us with that which Allah has already taught us. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teach us that which benefits us. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase our knowledge. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from all types of calamities and give us patience when he tests us. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us success and end all tests. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. Bijahin Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala al-Nabi. يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا ونبينا مولانا محمد بعد الوجود والكرم وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين سنة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم